talking about prayer. This kind of encompasses how we should interact with each other as far as Christians. So as I said, he was talking about three things. Right off the bat, the Spirit had led me to a point in which that I focused on the prayer. Because when I read the scriptures, it tells me that prayer changes things.
It does.
It tells me that when you are sick, call for the elders, let them pray for you. You know, so that your healing can take place. As I read the scriptures, it told me about Hezekiah, who one of the prophets told him that he was going to die. He turned over and prayed to God. God gave him 15 more years. Prayer changes things.
Yes, it does.
You have to understand what prayer is. Prayer is a communication with God. Oftentimes, in churches, you have so many different ways that you can pray. You have intercessory prayer where you're praying for everybody. You're praying for everybody in the church. Then you have individuals in which that love to pray so that they can be heard from man. You know, everybody say, boy, can he pray. Boy, it was like he was praying down heaven. You know. Then I love what the Bible had given an illustration. It had given an illustration of this here one person and what's it they prayed. And they just smote their chest and dropped their head. And they said, Lord, have mercy on me. Christ used that as an example. And he said, that person's prayer was heard and more righteous than that other individual was up there. He was up there for a half an hour.
Right.
Talking about, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and do you know who I am? You know, so we're talking about effective, fervent prayer. We're talking about prayer that changes things. We're talking about prayer that when you're done, you realize that God heard your prayer and you're expecting some action. So that's what I would like to talk about today, because that's what the Spirit of God has led me. So I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to be before you long. I asked the wife the last time I was here. I said, how long did I preach? She said, well, I thought it was about 35 minutes. I said, wow. Sometimes you get into it and I get excited when I think about the Word of God. I get excited when I get here and I see you guys and I'm saying, God's been so good to us.
Yes, he has.
2025. Yes. You know, I've experienced Mother Maxwell's birthday 100 years.
Yes.
I can't hold on. Hold on. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
100 years old. What a mighty God we serve. Yes. You know, I think about my aunt and what's some of the things that she's been through. I think about Ann, some of the things. God has been so good to us.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes,
I just can't take anything for granted. I can't take anything for granted. You know, I was telling my grandson, he was saying, Pop, I only got 30 more days, and they're going to ship me out. I'm coming home. I said, son, take your time. You know, God's got this. You know, I pray that God keep you surrounded regardless of what. They won't tell you exactly what day it is, Pop, because there's so much going on until they don't want anybody to know exactly when the plane is going to take off.
Right.
I said,
right.
I understand that, son. And I know you're nervous. But guess what? Hold on. God's got you.
God
has kept us.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve. And the time has kind of escalated and moved on. But what we'd like to do is start off with a word of prayer. Then we're going to get into the Word of God, because there is a word from the Lord today.
Yes.
Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us down the highway. I couldn't wait to get here, dear God. As I sat there in traffic and I told the wife, I said, I won't come this way no more. We just sat here for 10 minutes. We didn't fought to try to get there on time, and we were right close, but we sat at the light for about 10 minutes. I said, what kind of light is this? But dear God, you brought us down the highway safely.
Yes.
I can't complain about anything. I just thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. As I looked at some of the communications that I received this week, there are some individuals that wanted to be here, dear God, but you know their situation. You know their situation, dear God. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Heal their body, heal their soul, heal their mind, dear God. Just bless, keep, anoint them, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Bless Tommy Thompson. Last time he was here, we had heard that he was went back to the hospital. Dear God, bless us. We need you, dear God. We need you. I hope, dear Heavenly Father, as we share this word, and dear Heavenly Father, we would like to take this service today so that we can send it out to individuals that are that want to be here, but they can't for some reason or another. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear God, I ask you, Heavenly Father, for those that will receive, Heavenly Father, this word, Heavenly Father, whether it's on tape or whatever may happen, that they'll share it with others.
Yes.
Dear God, so that individuals will be enlightened, so that individuals, Heavenly Father, will realize that there's power in prayer. And dear God, we'll be careful to acknowledge you as our Lord, our God, and our Savior. I humbly submit this prayer before you. In Jesus' name I pray, my soul says, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, as you can see, you know, oftentimes when I'm studying the Word of God, what happens is that I end up having three and four books open at the same time. You know, I'm grabbing books and carrying on. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read a short version of the scripture in which that I had sent out today. And after that, I'm going to show you some similarities in which that I had seen in the scriptures. You know, because I realized one thing. Prayer comes in many different forms.
Yes.
Prayer comes sometimes. Yes. Sometimes you can pray with two or three words. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You know, you can just sit on your knees and Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You know, when I think about how good God has been to me, sometimes I don't have any words to express it. You know, when I think about the travel and what that God has had with me, how things he's pulled me out of the muck and mire, how he's elevated me, how he's blessed my life, you know, sometimes you can't say anything.
Right.
In addition to that, sometimes when I think about some of the things that I've messed up in life, you know, it reminds me of one person said, can I get a do-over? You know, a lot of times you don't get a chance to do a do-over. But as your days roll on, you try to do better. That's what we should be striving to do, trying to do better in life. When I think in terms of some of the mistakes that I have made, only things that I can do is just drop my head. And I say to myself, I wish that I would have known what I know now. I'd have stayed so close to God. Until y'all have been saying, why ain't he going nowhere, but he's just staying on his knees? Because I realize, you know, being with God is a better way of life.
Yes.
You know, it's very enriching.
Yeah.
The enrichment is there. The experiences that we have in life has only let me know that without God, we can do nothing. Satan just turns you around and slaps you all. You think you're doing something. You ain't doing nothing. In addition to that, we always try to impress other people. Other people don't know nothing. Other people, the people that we try to impress, they're walking around fooling everybody, thinking that they know so much when they don't know nothing. Without God, we can do nothing. I'm going to share with you the scripture in which that I had sent out today and what it talked about. As I said, we had three things in which that actually that it talked about. It talked about fasting in Matthew 6. It talked about prayer. Let me say fasting, prayer, and tithing. I chose prayer to talk about because, as I said, the benefits and what I realized that I have received through prayer. So, right off the bat, verse 7, it says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, okay? These are people in which that really don't know Christ. When they say, talking about heathens, they don't really know Christ. But they're out there trying to show like they're so religious. You got a lot of people in the church. They try to show like they're religious, but they really don't know Christ. You got so many people deceiving people. Mm-hmm. This world is full of deception.
Yeah.
You know, you go to some of these same places and carrying on, and you be saying, where am I? Because you got so many people that's full of deception. It says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. They just sit there. It reminds me of one time I'm sitting in the church and the preacher said, Brother Deacon, you've been praying for 45 minutes. Can you tell it all? So the deacon said, no, I can't tell it all. I'm just getting started. He said, well, then stop trying to tell it all. You know, that's enough. You know, and People think that they can be heard because they have much speaking, you know?
Yes.
But be ye therefore like unto them. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your fathers, and I love this part, your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. This is Jesus talking. Your father already knows what you have need of. You know, that's just like your father. He knows, but guess what? He's waiting for you to ask. You know, he's waiting for you to say, hey, I need you. You know, a lot of times, even as parents, you know, sometimes we give our kids so much. Sometimes it's good to let them sit there and ask, you know, what a mighty God we serve. And then he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I just so interesting, just so interesting. What a mighty God we serve. God is taking care of all of this. God goes before us, you know, and God knows our hearts, our souls, and minds. And he said, I already know, even before you asked. I already know what you have need of, even before you ask. So with that, you know, we just rely on God for everything. But as I was looking at this here particular scripture, and as I'm sitting there and I'm memorizing this thing, I'm saying, the Lord's Prayer is awesome. The Lord's Prayer is comforting just to hear, you know? And I had said to myself, I said, you know, this reminds me, because Jesus was always referring back to the Old Testament. This same prayer reminded me of another prayer, but they called it a song at the time. See, a song can be considered as a prayer. Words can be considered as a prayer. You know, so as I had read that particular piece, think in terms of that, as I flip over here to another prayer. It's in the book of Psalms. Psalms 23. Now, let me give you some background with this. The background with Psalm 23, that was Jesus giving the illustration of praying. He was talking about the hypocrisy. He was talking about how that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they like to stand up there with their robes on and carrying on out there the street, and you know, or even if they was fasting, guess what? They'd come in there with their face all sunken and, oh, I'm fasting, I'm holding on, you know. But God said, they have their rewards. We're talking about prayer. I'm going back to prayer. So when I started looking around at some of the other prayers and what's that I had read about in the Bible, I couldn't help but to go to Psalms 23 and wish that when I read the example that Jesus gave as far as prayer, the Spirit led me to Psalms 23 and wish that David prayed. Now, as I said, I want to give you some background. David was a shepherd boy. David was a shepherd boy. I can only imagine being out there. When a shepherd boy is out there in the wilderness all by himself. He's out there with all of these sheep. Now his job is to make sure ain't no parasites on these here sheep eating up the wool. Making sure that they got a good grazing, you know, they got good ground to graze on, that they're eating well, that there is no conflict between the sheep, because sometimes you get sheep that want to have conflict with each other, and they're out there ramming each other and carrying on, so you gotta try to keep them calm, you know? That's why David was always out there playing musical instruments and carrying on. Also, you had to protect these sheep. Now, you're out there in the wilderness. I know it's hard to conceive of a wilderness, because we were out here in the asphalt jungle where we got houses, we got running water, we can go to sit in the bathroom. There was a time where that we had to go to the outhouse. I know none of y'all remember that. But, you know, what happened is that, no, these are different times now. Back in those days, when you was out there looking after those sheep, you'd have a wolf pack, huge dogs, that would be coming out there trying to grab some sheep. You'd have bear out there trying to grab some of the sheep. You would have thieves out there I mean, marauders, thieves. I mean, with a band of thieves. Let's go out there and let's get three of them. We can take them with us and carry them. You only got one shepherd boy over there. We ain't got to worry about that. So, oftentimes, we misconceive when they start talking about, well, little shepherd boy. Let me tell you, as a little shepherd boy, he could scrap. He was always carrying something in his pocket, whether it was a knife. Because you had to defend, you're dealing with all of this. You had to be able to make a fire like that. You had to be able to eat. You're out there on your own. So you got visitors coming in there seeing your fire. You out there camping, laying on the ground at night. So I had to lay that out for you so you can get a good understanding as to what's going on when David wrote this particular psalm, or I'll call it prayer. Because for me, it was a prayer, you know? And it starts off when it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He talked about things that he knew. He was a shepherd. He talked about things that he knew. What did I tell you the shepherd does? A shepherd protects. A shepherd, when there's some disease out there, you got to go out there and put some ointment on your lambs and carry on. A shepherd will give you good ground to graze on. A shepherd will provide for you. A shepherd will make sure that you got shelter, heat from the storm. You know, he said, the Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You're talking about still waters. You're talking about the waters that's, you know, comforting waters, sweet waters. You know, something in which, I don't know about you, it's hard to find a good drink of water that can quench your thirst. You ever drink some of this here water and you be saying to yourself, that didn't even quench my thirst. What kind of water is that? Well, that's bottled water. Okay? He restoreth my soul. When he talks about restoring your soul, there's something on the inside. There's something on the inside. In life, somebody always trying to batter you. Where is your peace?
Yes.
Where is your peace of heart? I remember as a young man, like this here young man right here, guess what? You know, that's where the devil will try to make you have nightmares. You know, he attacks the mind. He attacks the spirit. But guess what? You know, God gives peace to the soul. You know, when you lay down at night, you know, because of some of the things in your life, some of the mistakes that we've made in your life, you know, you sit there and sometimes you toss and you turn and carry on. What I love about when I started reading his word, he gives me peace in my soul. And I, for me, like I said, this was a prayer. You know, just like Jesus gave an illustration for his prayer, when I started reading this, I said, oh, what a mighty prayer. I can only imagine being out there all by yourself, looking at the stars, everything so clear, knowing that you had to be a protector, knowing that, and said, Lord, you're my shepherd. You're my shepherd. I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, God is ordaining the steps. The Bible tells me the steps of a good man are ordained by God. They're ordained by God. I was talking to the wife the other day trying to make a decision. I had told her, I said, I don't know enough. I know that you want me to, as your husband, you want me to be sure. You want me to be, you know, very direct and act like I know what I'm doing. But without God, I don't know nothing. I'm not going to try to fool you. I'm trying to follow God. You know, even when I came here today, you know what I said? Lord, I hope the real preacher show up. Because, you know, without you, I can do nothing. I'm serious. I mean, because the Holy Spirit gets in you. Yes. And, you know, just as I'm sitting here now, the Holy Spirit is the one that directed me this way. I didn't know how I was going to preach. Am I going to talk about fasting? Am I going to talk about prayer? Am I going to talk about tithing? He said, prayer. I said, prayer. He said, matter of fact, he said, you read that? Are you going to just take that text? No, I'm going to send you someplace else. I'm going to send you over to the 23rd Psalm. Because guess what? When I think in terms of David out there all by himself, when I think about what was going on, the peace of mind, he said, God, he restored my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. He's just talking about things that he knows. His rod and his staff is what he used. But he's talking about God using those rod and his staff. You know, he's talking about, yeah, what we talked about the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death for me is when you was born and when you're going to die. And all that whole time, the trials and tribulations, everything that you go through, that's the valley. That's the valid. You know, but guess what? David, you know what David's talking about? He's talking about, yeah, you know, even as I'm taking these sheep, you got so much going on. You got the thieves, you got the marauders, you got this going on, you got that going on, you know. I'm gonna get to another part in a minute because the Holy Spirit just led me in a whole different direction. But I'm gonna share that with you, and I'm saying, Lord, hold on. I'm trying to get it in here. I'm trying to get telling you. You know, I'm trying to portray what He told me to give you, where I can sit down and back off. You know, that's why I ask the wife sometimes to take these things because she was saying, "Didn't you say that?" I said, "Did I? Did I?" She's, "Well, listen to the tape." You know, I said, "Wow, wow, it goes beyond my imagination." Verse 4, it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." God is a provider. He has exceeded my expectations. He has exceeded, and you see a journey that I have been on. He has exceeded my expectations. You know, that's why I told the wife, I said, I know she's always, sometimes I guess she'd be listening to me. I said, you know, when I was 5 years old, the first thing that I learn, and that is that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. At 5 years old, I knew there's something that you don't do. You don't play with God. God is nobody. You know, my father was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. My great-great-grandfather was a preacher. So what happens is that when I had to go on Saturdays, I was telling my wife coming down here on Saturdays, you know, my sister's getting got to go around, hang around the house in their pajamas and carrying on. You know, my dad being a preacher, seemed like every Saturday there was a funeral. You know, and my mom, she'd walk up to him, she said, "Take him with you." And I said, "Mom, I can vacuum like they doing, you know, look at the cartoons, I can eat, you know." No. Take him with you, you know. So oftentimes what happens is that, you know, I was with my dad, carrying on. I said, "Man, these people are dying like crazy. I mean, it seemed like every Saturday, you know, here we are at a funeral." You know, and you know, my dad, he's from old school. He said, "It's all right to touch him. Go on up there and touch him." So I said, "I have not lost anything here." You know, but you know, oftentimes what happens, you learn so much. One of the things that I learned, don't play with God. God is nobody to be playing with. You can laugh and joke with friends and everything. Don't play with God. That's the first thing that I learned. You know, I might not know nothing else, but I know not to play with God. And it says in verse 6, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's that peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, that's what we want to get to. As we continue to mature as Christians, sure, we done made mistakes. But thank God for forgiveness. See, this was the Old Testament. Now when you cross into the New, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "I'm the vehicle. I'm the vehicle. Are you real? Are you for real? Are you for real? Because if you're for real, guess what? I know you done make mistakes." Back in the Old Testament, they had to go to the priest, and the priest had to sacrifice. He had to cut the throat of a lamb or a dove, and it wasn't easy cutting these throats. Let me tell you one thing. When you bring a premium goat and out there with the white fur and carrying on, and then you got to make the sacrifice, and then you got to spread the blood, then you got to put the blood off. I mean, it wasn't no joke, but guess what? They had got to the point where they was bringing crippled animals and everything. Matter of fact, they had got to the point where you had a market up there at the sanctuary where they said, "Come buy your dove. Come by," and half the doves will be blind, you know, the whole nine yards. But you know, God said, "I need a sacrifice, an ultimate sacrifice." You know, Jesus said, "Nobody takes my life, but I lay it down freely." He is the ultimate sacrifice. Like I said, back in the Old Testament, you know, what happens is that they had to make sacrifices. Thank God, God had a master plan. His plan was where that he was willing to sacrifice his son, which was a sacrifice in which that was accepted by God. A sacrifice where that now you don't have to sacrifice no doves, you know? Just by believing, just by making that open confession, "Lord, come into my heart. I done made a mess of my life. I haven't done everything right. But, dear God, I need you to walk with me, to talk with me. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to get this thing right." You know? And that's, I'll tell anybody that, whether it's addiction, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's somebody that just can't leave the woman alone, you know? Tell God about what's bothering you. Ask him to help remove those desires that is laid on your heart all the time. Help God to help you. You know, we don't pray enough. You know, we do not pray enough. I mean, when I wake up in the morning, I'm praying. When I go to bed, I'm praying. I try to have intercessory prayer. During the course of this here week, when I heard some of the communications that I had received where individuals are going through some things, you know, and I'm saying to myself, oh, Lord, have mercy. I can only imagine some of the things that they're going through. You know, as I listen to some of the testimonies, I can only imagine. I said, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Mercy suits our case. Mercy suits our case. And I thank God that we have a God in which that we can report to. I thank God that there's somebody in which that I can get down on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, help me through this process. I didn't got to the point where I'll cry to God for anything. I don't care if I'm at a stoplight and maybe somebody may be mad. I say, Lord, bless them. You know, or whether I'm sitting up in line and it seems like the line is getting longer and longer at the market and carrying on. And I'm saying, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, Lord, help me. You know, guide me through, whether it's good weather, bad weather. You know, I ask God to bless my wife. I mean, hey, the church family here, our electronic family. You know, mother, you don't know how many times I ask God to touch you. You know, I wanted to see you get to that 100. But then I told somebody this past week. I said, yeah, I told mother. Just because she got to be 100. Now, don't think that you can just sit back. You got work to do. Because you got to go into your 120. He gave us 120. You know, so you got to keep running this race. And that's what happened. We've got to keep running this race. God is not through with us yet. What? Here's the question that's going to arise. When you get to heaven and you take that last breath, you know, and you be saying, well, you know, I preached the gospel. He said, yeah, but what did you do for me? That's the question. What did you do for me? Did you feed the sick? Did you feed the homeless? Did you visit the elderly? Did you help anybody? Have you told anybody about Jesus? What's in your heart? Man looks at the outer appearance. You know what God looks at? The heart. God looks at the very intent. See, what I love about it, you can't fool God. You can fool people. You can fool people all the time. You can laugh and joke and carry on. You can have all kinds of jokes. That reminds me of when I went to church one time. One guy, he sat up there and he sang the Temptations song. And one of the deaconesses that was there, she said, "Whoo! Child, didn't he preach?" I said, "What did he say? Well, you know, didn't you hear the way he sung?" I said, "Yeah, but that was one of the Temptations songs." I mean, you know, so a lot of times we are so deceived as to what's real. What's real is the Word of God. What will change your life is the Word of God. What we have is communication with God. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait till I get the glory. I can talk to God right now. You know, only thing you have to do is get down on your bending knees and humble yourself before God. And God will respond. You know, if he don't respond right away, you know what he's saying? Hold on. I'm coming. You know, if he respond right away, you know that, guess what? God is always on time. It reminds me of the time when they had Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? And the reason why God had the angels to go visit, because somebody was crying out in prayer. Somebody's crying out, you know, God will move. God will move on situations, you know? But a lot of times we have not because we ask. We ask and we don't even believe that it's going to happen. What a mighty God we serve. But on that other point, as I bring it all in, and that's why I can tell you this, and that is that when David went into his father's house and his father said, David, take this lunch to your brothers. They out there fighting. And David said, oh man, I get to go out there with my brothers. They out there fighting and carrying on. Soon as he walked in there, you know what the brother said? David, what are you doing here? You always start in trouble, you know? David was a shepherd boy. You know what that meant? David was always in the mix, you know? So when he sat up there and carrying on and he heard this here Philistine talking about God, talking about, come on, send somebody out here talking about you believe it. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Where's your God now? David told him, why ain't nobody challenging him? Why ain't, you know, because we got God. That's more than enough. That's more than enough. What I love about it though, you know what David says, King, he says, and so what? His brother said, David, why don't you just go on home? You always start in trouble. He says, what do you get if you kill this guy? He wasn't shy about asking what was his reward. Because guess what? When you're working for God, whew, there's a reward. You know, you don't do this for naught. You're not doing this for naught. There's crowns. There's awards. You know, and what's that you have when you get to heaven? I just don't want to get there and say, whew, I barely made it in. No, I'm going in. I'm saying, well, Lord, look at my reward. You know, because guess what? I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I'm running a race. This is a race. And at the end of the race, you know what you get? An award. What a mighty God we serve. So, I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you to not just be satisfied, just sitting on the sideline, run a good race. Tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Let somebody know that you got Christ in your life. Let's shine your light in this dark world. Shine your light, because men are a lot of times lovers of the darkness more than of the light. Let somebody know what you stand for and give God all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory while you have a breath in your body. And with that, I'm going to conclude, but I asked my wife on the way down here, I had told her, I said, well, I'm going to talk about prayer. So I said, would you sing the Lord's Prayer for me as I conclude? So I'm asking you at this time, would you sing the Lord's Prayer?
Absolutely. It is with great honor. Father, thank you that the word goes forth unhindered, unchecked, with excellence, accuracy, and boldness for your glory.
For your glory.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Fellowship one with another. That's why I love these sacraments, you know, because it lets us know that we're all in one accord. For those individuals that accepted Christ as their personal Savior, you know, this brings us in one accord. You know, this is the family of Christ. You know, this lets us know that we have unison one with another. As I sat and I thought in terms of the upper room, when they all fellowship one with another, you know, and God broke bread and gave it to each one of them. It's about a fellowship, you know? It's about a fellowship. That's why it tells you in the Bible, examine yourself. You know, examine yourself as you take these, and as I often would say, Lord, if I haven't measured up, forgive me. Forgive me, keep me, you know, so that I won't shame you, myself, or my family. Keep me, you know. What a mighty God we serve. You know, they use these sacraments for everything. You see them sitting on the tables. You see them at the parties in Canada. But we're going to ask God to change it from a carnal use to a spiritual use. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we ask you to touch these sacraments that we're about to receive, dear God. Change it from a carnal use to a spiritual use, dear God. As we fellowship one with another, we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And we're grateful, dear God, because you're worthy to be praised. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word, dear God. Thank you for the word as you direct me, dear God. And dear God, I just press upon each one of us to pray. Pray daily. Pray for our families. Pray for each other, dear God.
Yes.
Keep us in perfect peace. And we'll be careful to acknowledge you as our Lord, our God, and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, I have one here. God be the glory. That's right. Now that's right. If my man sleep, we ain't gonna wake him up, let him sleep. You know, I done got some of the best sleep in church. As a young man, I got some of the best sleep in church. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Somebody got the Bible going on? Yeah. How's anybody making out?
All right.
Oh, mother, you got yours?
You do?
Well, she on the ball, I tell you. Yeah, well, that's because of her birthday. She thinks she thinks she got it going on now. She said, I'm 100. I got it. I got this.
Today is my brother's heavenly birthday. He's in heaven. He's my younger. I need help with this. He would have been 76 today. My youngest brother.
Well, Lord have mercy.
Happy heavenly
birthday. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Very wonderful person.
Yeah, you know what makes it so beautiful? You're still here. Yeah. You still got a testimony. You're still running your race.
Yeah.
He was so happy. I still have joy.
I just got it. Thank you.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen. 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 The bread symbolizes it. Oh, are you ready?
Nope.
Oh, where's okay. What I do with the bread? Oh, here it is.
Hang on.
Do you need help?
Oh God.
You know, I found that on one side is for the bread and the other side is for the wine. Now that side is probably for the wine. You go on the other side, it'd probably be easier to get the bread.
Okay.
Did you already eat that?
No, I didn't eat it yet.
Okay.
Wait for
it. I didn't
see it. Well, if you need another one?
I think we got it.
Good? Okay. Bread symbolizes the body that was hung for our hang-ups. Let's fellowship by eating the bread at this time. Amen?
Amen.
Followed by the cup. The cup symbolizes the shedding of blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Shall we have our cup at this time?
Mm-hmm.
And then after they had their fellowship and they had their cup, they had communion, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Well, we don't have any Mount of Olives, but we have our several homes. But one thing that we do have in common, they went out singing. We're going to sing our standard song.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day.
He hung his head and died for me.
Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
Well, the important part for me.
He's coming back again for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're going to ask you if there's names that you want to call out at this present time. I know Sarah. Is there anyone else in which that we'd like to have a prayer before
Tommy.
We
Tommy Thompson?
Okay.
Barbara Preston.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We talked about Barbara Preston, talked about Sarah, we talked about Tommy.
And Lou. And my nephew Kevin is there's something wrong with him, and they've been searching and searching, and they cannot find it. and he's in very bad pain, and they cannot find it. I'm praying to St. Anthony. I don't know if you believe in St. Anthony, but I'm praying to St. Anthony and Jesus and Mary. Because right now, he has given up, and I don't believe in giving up. And so I got my daughters on it, and I put these on it.
And Barbara Ann.
Because I can't believe last night that he said.
Yeah, she used to come.
He said that I've totally given up.
This is little boy's father.
What's his name, Todd?
Tekai. The police just picked him up. From out here.
Oh, is that what the police, is that what they picked up and got his car and all that?
Lord,
wow, Lord Jesus, have mercy.
This is his little son. This is my great-grandson.
I seen the tow truck and all that outside. Yeah, Lord have mercy.
Lord Jesus.
Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, you heard the names that was called out. Dear God, we need you right now in the name of Jesus.
Lord,
we realize that you can intervene.
Yes.
Oh, dear God, we ask you for mercy because mercy suits the case.
Yes.
Dear God, we haven't done everything right. We haven't done everything right, dear God, but mercy suits our case. Dear God, as I was reading your word, dear me, Father, yesterday, and you was talking about, dear me, Father, as we go through these trials and tribulations, dear me, Father, be of good cheer. You have overcome, and we will overcome also. Dear me, Father, we realize that this is just shedding of the cross with you. When we go through these trials and tribulations, just as you was hung up for our hang-ups, dear God, you're illustrating, dear me, Father, that, guess what? Take up that cross and follow me. This is part of our cross, dear me, Father. Oh, dear God, but help us to get through it because we can't do it on our own.
Yes.
Dear God, the pain, racked with decision-making, dear God. Oh, dear God, bless us right now in the name of Jesus. Dear God, guide our footsteps. Bless the doctors, dear me, Father, so they can discover, dear me, Father, just what the issue is, dear me, Father. Oftentimes, dear me, Father, you've told us, dear me, Father, oh, you went to the doctor before you asked me? Oh, dear God, you want to be first in line, dear God. So bless us right now, dear God. Sometimes, dear me, Father, within our hearts, dear me, Father, we're trying to decide what is best. We don't even know what is best for our own selves, dear God.
Bless
the names that was called out, dear God. Bless us and keep us. Every individual in this room, dear God, I ask you for a special blessing.
Yes.
I ask you to bless them physically. I ask you to bless them emotionally.
Yes.
I ask you to bless them financially, dear God. Oh, dear God, keep us. Dear me, Father, this is your nucleus. Dear me, Father, these are your prayer warriors, dear God.
Yes.
We're sending a prayer because prayer makes a difference, dear me, Father. We have not because we pray not. Oh, dear God, some of us, we pray and we doubt whether it's going to even happen. But, dear God, help our unbelief.
Yes.
Help
yes.
our unbelief, dear God. Just bless, keep and anoint. And we'll be careful always to acknowledge you. We'll be careful, dear Heavenly Father, to tell others about the goodness of Jesus. And we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And I humbly submit this prayer before you. In Jesus' name I pray. All those that agree with our prayer, let's say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.